Last few weeks after we have gone to read the Gospel of John, and of course he's resurrected and he's also victory, and he revealed himself to many people, and then we thought about ourselves, how we are also saved. We have also received the grace of God, especially the salvation of God. When we think about our sins has been forgiven, and then we have this security of going to heaven. So, but one important thing we must ask, after we are joyful and we are saved, what happens after we are saved? We have received this grace of the gospel. How do we live our lives? So, what is the practical impact of God's grace in our life? We do not just receive grace blindly, but we must see what this grace. So how do we live with this grace? Every time we say after Jesus ascended, it's of course it's a glorious thing. So those of us who remain on earth, what happened to us? So when a man departs, the things he said before he departs is the most important thing. So let's look at what Jesus tell the disciples before he ascended. Matthew 28. Before he ascended into heaven, these are the words that he gave to his disciples. Verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. As the Bible specially pointed out, some doubted. What are some of their doubts? So many things has happened. Jesus was crucified. They may be doubtful what all this means. You know, they may be doubtful, you know, what is the way forward for them? Will the Roman soldiers let them leave? Verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." We saw the response of Jesus. So of course Jesus knew the disciples are doubtful, but he did not rebuke their doubts. He understands, he empathizes with our weaknesses. But amazingly, the most important words. So Jesus gave them the. So he didn't say, because you have doubts, you are not qualified. You know, he gave them the most important words. Since my faith, sometimes when we read the Bible, we read, since my power is not sufficient, my faith is not sufficient. But in the time of men's doubts, Jesus points to himself, what he can do. It does not cause people to look at themselves. Sometimes we are like the disciples, we are weak. So in our process, in our faith journey, we are also times of our doubts. But even so, we can still rely on the Holy Spirit and then use the authority of God. Before Jesus, of course, we read the Bible. We really, really love commandments. We must do this and do that. Before God tells us what to do, so God wants us to know His power and that how that power is with us today. Why? So as believers, we must know. Actually, everything is God-driven. No matter whether it's Great Commission or any ministry, God must be the initiator. God will be the one who sustains it and the one who's working it, so that it will be so that it can bear fruit. We must know this truth so that what we do will be pleasing to God and there will be fruit. If we are not very clear about this God-driven perspective, if we don't understand this, we think about this Great Commission, we will feel very stressed. Either we become overstressed, then we become proud. When things are smooth, we start to be proud. Verse 19. So therefore, God is not unreasonable. Before He gives us the Great Commission, He's not asking the weak people to do some impossible things. He is telling us, since all authority has been given to me, and God is with you, and then He has given you the authority, so we definitely have the reason to do what is in the next line. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. What is? It's about all nations. It's not just those people we have burden for. The gospel is not selfish. When we do this Great Commission, it's not to be selective who to share the gospel with, who to save. Not just believers. They must not just be believers, they have to be disciples. We just not just people want people to lead them to sinners' prayers. They think that they have completed the task. Actually, God doesn't just want us to save people, but we want to bring them to the stage of sanctification. We know that to many people, a sinner's prayer is very easy. It's just, I want to believe in Jesus. The disciples is a lifelong vocation. Every day they need to carry the cross. So in their whole life, purpose is changed. This is what can believe in Christ is already very good. Of course, that's very good, but God's heart is so. God wants us to be from a believer to become a disciple. And teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and we must know. So everything God has commanded you. What God wants us to teach is not a compromise gospel, something that is aligned to the world's teaching. It's not our own subjective values. We must know. Not just to teach them to obey everything. His heart is not, it's not just to share a message or some truth or tell them some knowledge. Or, you know, Jesus actually ever said this or did this. The heart of Jesus is that in our sharing of the gospel, it's not just to impart a lot of knowledge. When they teach the gospel, they are very happy. What is this meaning in Hebrew and in Greek? In history, there's this thing happened. And then, actually, think about it. If another person truly loves another person, do you just, if you are a parent, if you love a child, you cannot just impart like some principles. You will teach them. also, it is really, when you raise a child, you also want to leave the child to live out the truth that he knows, the knowledge. If you do not live out the truth cannot bless us. It's not just to impart some spiritual knowledge, but it's to send them out so that they will, others will obey the word of God. So if a person have knowledge, if you look at Satan, his spiritual knowledge is the highest, but all these that he knows did not benefit him, because God, Satan did not obey God, and Satan hate God. So when we teach, we need to teach them to obey the word of God. So if we want to teach people to obey, we first must obey. Then, and surely I am with you always to the very end of this age. Such a great commission. So people like us who are still weak or still have a lot of doubts, but because Jesus has promised that He will be with us always to the very end of the age. Of course, He ascended into heaven. So some of the disciples are, after this, giving us this great mission, he ascended into heavens. Some disciples are still very confused about how they can accomplish this. We look at our condition, and we look at our own situation. Then we see our own powers, our own conditions. Sometimes we think, so when we look at all these conditions, and it is not very aligned to what God has commanded us to do. He, in Luke, so Luke also reminds us that we need to wait for the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit can give us the power to do the Great Commission. Then He opened their minds so that they can understand the Scriptures. And He told them, this is what is written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sin will be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are the witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. A person wants to... There's a three critical components from Luke. What are the three things? Do we have the three things? First, if he wants to share the gospel, he must know. You need to understand the gospel. You are the witnesses of all these things. We are not like the disciples who have witnessed the miracles of Jesus directly, but we surely have testified God's realness. So we must receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Nobody can use our own conditions to accomplish this Great Commission. When we think about this Great Commission and evangelism, I don't know, many believers have a lot of barriers. They feel like they cannot share the gospel. They feel accused. So every time they want to share the gospel, they have a lot of fear. You know, evangelism talks about gift. I don't know what to share. How to start the topic? So some people, they are too afraid to share. I look at my family relatives, they are not so interested in the gospel. I'm waiting for the opportunity. In this internet, our people are very fearful of sharing the gospel because you may offend others. So so you can have a comment and get attacked. And of course, this era also talks about tolerance. Every time when we talk about how only Jesus can save us, we feel very stressed, but we pray for God to give us to overcome our barriers to share the gospel, so that we restore this heart to be willing to save others. If we want to start this heart, we must see the necessity and the value of the Great Commission. Great Commission is evangelism and disciple making. Why do we need to care about this? The first reason, because God already instructed all believers to participate in the Great Commission. It's for all commission. It's not for those people with a lot of Bible knowledge. It's not just for full-timers. Great Commission is to give to all, every believer. Actually, this Great Commission, it is also beneficial to us when we want to raise disciples and evangelize. It will also bless ourselves. If we are not living for the Great Commission, if we are not living for the Great Commission, if not living, what state would we be in? We'll be busy with our family, we'll be busy with our career, deal with a lot of demands in the world. So they are too busy to play in the world and enjoy life in the world. But when you realize that, when they do not have this perspective of the Great Commission, they will be absorbed into the world's culture. What the world is, the curiosity of the world, what the world, the pursuits of the world. We must be very sensitive to our own hearts. I do not have any grave sin. I just don't have any conviction for the Great Commission. I pray, I have read the Bible. If we are very sensitive to our heart, if a person does not have the heart to accomplish the Great Commission, everything he pray is about things on earth, or my family, my children, my career. How do I... This... Actually, he does not belong to earth. He forgot that his eternal home is actually in heaven. So we must know God loves us. When he gives us this Great Commission, it's not to also save his people, but it's also to bless us. If he truly loves all of us, of course he wants to expand the kingdom, but he is also concerned about how individual believers are being sanctified. This is also we do not think that this Great Commission is about God's things. It is also a channel for us to be more blessed. It's a channel for us to receive more blessings. So what if you want to share the gospel, when we need to teach others, do we not have to pursue our better, clearer understanding of the scriptures? We must start out our faith. It helps. We need to make our faith authentic, and we will also pursue a holy living. Sometimes, so if not, when we share the gospel, we'll be in a dilemma. If we just come on Sunday, so after we leave this church, if we don't have the heart to want to share this gospel or teach others every time, okay. I know this truth, I know this knowledge, but if we don't organize it in our heart, we don't have these struggles, don't have to remove the doubts, to repent of the things. One day if you have to teach Sunday school, if you want to share the gospel with your family member, if you have to lead a cell group. So when that happens, the kind of concentration we bring to listening to a sermon will be different. So when God gives us this great commission, it's not for His benefit. God is a very wise God. God, when He gives us this great commission, it is for Him to fulfill His purposes, but it's also to edify us. Because if we want to pursue this great commission, we have to understand the gospel faster, clearer. So if we truly want to share the gospel, so Holy Spirit, for the benefit of those, no matter how weak this vessel is, I'm also a very weak person. Sometimes, but for the sake of the sheep, to be nourished spiritually, it's not for my benefit, but it's for the benefit of those people we are reaching out to. God will anoint us. So when we have this heart for the Great Commission, then all the more we will all rely on God. So when we want to live out the Great Commission, we will be brought to a state of sanctification. Great Commission will also make us less selfish. So we have a selfish nature. We are always looking at our own gains, but every time when we read the Bible, when we come to church, maybe I forgot from Monday to Saturday, but every Sunday we are reminded of this Great Commission. Suddenly, God reminds us we cannot be so narrow-minded. We did not live for ourselves. The Great Commission to step out of our own selfishness, and so that we'll be blessed to be known. If a person is willing to love others, it's going to be a very beautiful image of himself. When a person sees this great commission can bless him, he realizes that he is a citizen of the heavenly kingdom. Besides a child of God, we are also a citizen of the heavenly kingdom. When he will restore a sense of ownership toward heavenly kingdom. So what does this mean? So one day, they realize, every time I share the gospel, when I fulfill the great, participate in the Great Commission, it is not just a matter of the heavenly kingdom, but it's also my own things, because it's related to his eternal inheritance. When he realized this, in that time, evangelism does not come as a responsibility. If a person, when you work for hire, but one day, if you are a self-employed and also your employee, everything you do is your own business, is your family business. You put all your time and your money devote into it, because ultimate, what he has to gain is to benefit himself. So if we will share the inheritance, we all inherit the heavenly kingdom with Jesus. It does not just belong to, it belongs to us. We are all going to enjoy the crowns in the heavenly kingdom. And then we will be willing to put in our gifts, time and money into invest into the heavenly kingdom. There's something we like to pray. We pray for you to be Holy Spirit. We want to use the... So us. When we want to make disciples of all nations, that's the clearest time to understand, to see the Holy Spirit work, the work of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, how Holy Spirit sustains us in our weaknesses, how He enables us to meet the right person. So I admit that sharing the gospel is difficult, evangelism is difficult. But because it is difficult, and because He is, and then precisely that is difficult, that's why we need to rely on God. So we must not be afraid to preach the gospel. So sometimes when we share the gospel, some people may persecute you, but we must know. So a person's salvation is dependent on God's power, not ours. Romans 1:16 is the power of God. Why do people they scared? They are afraid of the outcome and the results. But if we don't be afraid that people do not believe, we cannot be responsible for how the response to the gospel. The response is not something mortals can decide. So our attitude must change. Sometimes we share the gospel. Some people... So if we share the gospel, somebody... Oh, we are secretly happy. Oh, it's all because of my prayer. But we must be very careful. If a person can accept Christ, it is God's glory and God's work. So we try our best to share, we try to evangelize. If a person still cannot believe in Christ, we need not feel upset because everything is in God's sovereignty. We do not need to be afraid of failure because when Jesus preached the gospel himself, when he is the any everybody believe. So he raised the dead, and then there's so many great miracles. Despite all these things, and he shared the most precise and most complete. So the Jews, the Pharisees, did not believe in him and also persecute him. So the example of Jesus is also encouraging to even sometimes we share the gospel a lot, but if people still do not believe, we do not be discouraged, because if it's not so, of course Jesus shared, evangelized the perfect way, but sometimes when we try to share and then we share and people don't understand, of course there are instances where we are inadequate, but we need to admit that even the best evangelist, the best teacher, who is Jesus, even the best, when he shared the gospel, not everybody will believe. Because a hardened person, if because of their hardness, they will reject the gospel. But how do we challenge ourselves not to share the gospel? If we, no matter what outcome, it is a victory. If we did not share, evangelize, we have already failed. If a believer evangelized and the person accepted Christ, of course this is a victory. But if I share the gospel, but if a person does not, but But of course, he may not accept Christ immediately. But if he, because you have sowed the seeds, he starts to be interested in. So what is the worst outcome when people reject the gospel? Even when we evangelize, even if people reject the gospel, why is it a victory as well? If we share the gospel and then we have this outcome that people reject the gospel, but in that, it is also a success because we have obeyed God. We did not remain in acquisition because once you evangelize, whether they believe, whether they just get interested or rejected, we are all successful. We did not compromise to our fear. We did not give in to our unbelief. Although there's a lot of struggles just to obey God. Why do people scared of sharing the gospel, but they are scared of rejection? Sometimes when, even though people hate us, people persecute us, but God tells us, Matthew chapter 5, if people persecute you because of the gospel, you will be blessed because you will receive reward in heaven. Matthew 10, go when you evangelize, if you go to a family and the peace will come back to you if they do not accept the gospel. We will still receive the peace and reward from heaven. So, the success of evangelism, what is the success of evangelism? When people believe in Christ, of course, that's our success we anticipate. But the success of evangelism is not in the outcome, but it's in the obedience. A lot of prophets, they faithfully preach because their hearts are hardened, because they are successful, because they have obeyed the will of God. Some of us do not look at outcome. The success of evangelism is not at the outcome. If we do not do anything, we have already failed, because we have compromised with our unbelief. After we share the gospel, whether they believe or not, it doesn't matter. But we must not have this regret that we did not even share the gospel. Of course, Pastor said last week, it's not about learning a method, but how should we evangelize? The direct way of preaching the gospel very directly just share the gospel with others. In a church, when we have a gospel rally, you just share the gospel to the person. But if you want to directly share the gospel, he must have a right understanding of the gospel and the content. After we have heard the gospel many times, can we share the gospel? Do we know what the truth is talking about? Very core content, the original sin. Why is it only Christ? Why is it only Christ can save a person? Why is not Christ one of the many ways? But why is it only Christ? We need to get this sorted out. what is justified by faith. Justified by faith, but it's not from the works of men. We must start before we can share the gospel. So, direct way of preaching the gospel, we need to grasp the core gospel content. Some people, so I know, but I cannot. When we have the heart, when to share the gospel, in the appropriate time, the Holy Spirit will give us the words. This is the direct way of preaching the gospel. What is the indirect way? So I really don't like to share the gospel. I don't know how to start. How do I start the topic? We must pray the indirect way. If someone is really scared to share the gospel, you have Facebook, Instagram. If you put some posts and share some gospel truth, so sometimes you have WhatsApp group or WeChat or share certain. We share messages. We have gospel tracts in our church. Just give to people. And sometimes gospel rally. Because of baptism, one of the services is a gospel rally. When we invite people to church, even if you can't share it yourself, let them hear a pastor share the gospel. No matter how, so he can. She's a teacher, my cell group. My teacher. So one day, a student asked him, "Why do you become a Christian?" So there are so many. So now the world is in a mess right now. Some people ask, "Hey, what do Christians think about the end of the world?" So in the First Peter 3, it says, "But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. No matter how shy you are, especially if you are introverted. In this chaotic world, why do you have hope? If your income is unstable, why do you have this peace? We must grab this opportunity to honor God, to give glory to God. No matter how the minimum he can do, he can prepare the core gospel message. How God is real in your life. Organize all these thoughts. So when people ask us, you don't talk about it in a mess, but we must. This is something we can prepare. The indirect way of sharing the gospel, a very important something that we neglect, if our living testimony. When we practically care for people through our good testimony to convict others, so that people ask. Many people think that evangelism is a designated activity. Today is a gospel rally. I invite people. It's one program, one activity. But actually, living sacrifice. Romans 12 say we are living sacrifice. It's our whole life. It is evangelism. Whether we if people know we are Christians, we want to say, we don't people see our life when they know that we are Christian. We don't have to say, we don't need to say, this is the gospel. This is the shape of the gospel. This is how Jesus is like. Even if we don't share the gospel directly, the living, our life, the testimony, does it? Do we turn people off from God? First Peter chapter 2 verse 12. Live such good lives among the pagans. We are all living in pagans. In our company, there are non-believers. In our community, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, so some people will say we are narrow-minded. You know, other gods also teach people to do good things. You cannot support. Very troublesome. You cannot. So a lot of people have a lot of objections to us, especially in this modern world. But so that although they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. Because their spiritual eyes are not open, when their spiritual eyes are not open, everything they see, they will see our outward display of work. So believers will say, people, God looks at the heart, but for they see your behavior, your works, your deeds. What we do, will they give glory to God? Or they will despise God. So we have to enable people to see our good deeds so that they will give glory to God. So our mission is to on our earth, through our lives, they can see, others can see the God, the invisible God. They cannot see Christ. They cannot see Christ, they can see Christian. So from the lives of Christian, they can infer what Christ is. If we use good testimony to, some people say, if I want to glorify God, if I want to share the gospel, I want to testify for God. I need to have some dramatic stories in my conversion. Healed from cancer. So instant, and God turn it around. Sometimes my faith is quite simple. There's no dramatic encounters. Some people, they feel, I don't have any extraordinary testimony, but do not feel little. Because it is not based on, you can, sometimes, if some people think wants to listen to signs and wonders, actually what they really want to listen is not just they want to know one day, how do you walk out of things that you are always worried about? You have always been anxious about these things. How do you be liberate yourself. The best miracle. So some testimony like, oh, my children used to be rebellious, and then now they are very obedient. Or one day my work is not smooth sailing, and then now it's smooth sailing. What is really encouraging to others is one day your eyes are open. You are not affected by the opinion of the boss, and you're not tormented by how your child behaves. You have, no matter what the circumstances is, you have peace. One problem ends the new problem. So people want to listen to the testimonies of not having and then having, but in all the different circumstances, how we gain strength in our heart, we are not affected by our joy is steady and is not shaken by all these things. In the ordinary things, how do we help others to see the value of God? You must love one another, and so that people will know that. So that people know you are my disciples. It is related to if you bring a person to gospel. When we see people don't greet each other or concern of each other, no matter how traumatic, we don't see the love for each other. Their heart will not be touched as well. But salvation is not based on his deeds, although it's by grace through faith. Salvation is by grace through faith. But the Satan always uses the weak behaviors and bad testimony to destroy the work of the gospel. So we know that our security of our salvation is not from our works. Although sometimes we may not always have good works, but we know we have eternal salvation. But we do not want our bad works to stumble others. Of course, there's a direct way, indirect way, but I need to emphasize this. Whether it's direct or indirect way of sharing the gospel that Jesus tells us, you must tell, you must go, you must think. You must go. Whether you are introvert, extrovert. Whether you are eloquent, not eloquent. We will realize indirect doesn't mean we do not do anything. You must share the post, you must share the message. You need to invite people. There is still a proactiveness in that. We must go and make disciples of all nations. We also know when we go, we may not always have success. We will have opposition. When we meet with hardened people, we must know the gospel does not stop. The gospel will not. Our times on earth are limited. God will not waste our precious life. When we meet with hardened people, when reject the gospel, doors to the Gentile was opened. Sometimes if these people reject the gospel, the other people will accept it. There are other people who will receive the gospel. We do not receive in this kind because there's an urgency in this. And in season and out season, we share the gospel. If this group don't want to listen, we share with another group. I need to share this. I don't come to this conclusion that this group surely will not believe. If we never try to, we don't just assume this group or that this person will surely not believe. We must practically share the gospel with them. Here, Lord, open our eyes, open so this person is not ready yet, right? You know, Lord, you just open up the door, open our eyes so that we can see. So if God is willing, we may come back to the person to reject the gospel to share again, especially our family. We still have to come back to the same family. Here, we must look at the urgency. Gospel does not stop. If they cannot believe, we move on. God did not just give us this great commission. This great commission is not just God. God did not just dump this great commission to weak disciples like us, but He will be with us and He will co-work with us. And this is what God instructed, and He has promised us the Holy Spirit and His presence. We need to pray, and we need to overcome a lot of our fears on evangelism. And when we have no heart, when we enjoy the love of God, when the love of God touches us, naturally we will care about who God cares about. So God wants us to preach the word in season of season. It's not one activity, one program, it's our whole life, so that we can in season out season preach the word. Here we know that pastor will come in the 9 a.m. So Acts also talks about the Holy Spirit, because it reveals how the Holy Spirit, very weak, those people who even want to scatter after Jesus. So how the Holy Spirit, helps these disciples and apostles to carry out the Great Commission. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks because you have first called us so that we can participate in this glorious mission. We thank you that you have not belittle our weaknesses, although we have doubts. We have weakness, but you continue to use us. We know that this is such a glory and such an honor to be used by you, although we are so weak. Lord, although we have a lot of excuses and a lot of discouragement in evangelism, but we pray you encourage us. We can walk out of all these barriers and discouragement from the Great Commission. Help us to be touched by your love, and then in the remaining days of life, through our lives and through our days, we can participate in this Great Commission. Lord, help us in this. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.